happen to be in orbit.
This week on What It Means to Be Human, I'm very proud to share an exclusive interview with nuclear physicist and legendary UFO researcher Stanton Friedman. Roz had the incredible opportunity to talk with Stanton at the Brantford Alien Cosmic Expo in June 2016, and we finally get to share that interview with you today. Stanton Friedman spent a lifetime challenging the idea that UFOs were just stories or speculation. In this never-before-seen interview, he lays out why the phenomena deserves serious scientific attention, and why dismissing it may say more about us than what's in the sky.
Well, if we got to talking about facts and data, that's the biggest study ever done for the Air Force. It has data on 3,201 sightings. On the basis of this study, we believe that no objects such as those properly described as flying saucers have overflown the United States. It was a lie, by definition. So, it's deception with a capital D, and it made me angry. I don't like being lied to by people like the Secretary of the Air Force. I mean, bending the truth is one thing, but stamping on it like this is something else. And if you read the SETI literature, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, those guys, you find they never mention this. They never talk about any of the good sources of data. I feel like I'm a Woodward or Bernstein, you know, trying to get at the facts. This is a job for blowing the lid off the cosmic Watergate.
What got you into the study of UFOs?
I'm the Grandma Moses of the UFO book writing business. I was in my 60s, I think. I didn't intend to be a full-time ufologist. What are you talking about? I'm a nuclear physicist, you know. They canceled the nuclear rocket program after our greatest success ever, you understand. And I'm driving across the country to take a new job, which was going to be the finest thing ever. My job would be on the Manned Orbiting Laboratory program, the MOLE program, for McDonnell Douglas. They could spend a little money on blue sky stuff. High risk, high gain, but a small amount of money. My job would be to find out how flying saucers worked. Boy! I walk in with my offer letter. You realize we just laid off 5,000 people, she says. It was at that time that I determined I gotta look after my family. I gotta look after myself, not depend on anybody else.
How have you seen the acceptance of the subject change during your career?
It's been an interesting lesson for me. I gave my first lecture in 1967. I've spoken in 18 countries, 50 states, 10 provinces. So I know that sightings occur everywhere. I've checked my audiences. Typically, at the end of my lecture, 10% believe they've seen one. But then I ask, how many of you reported what you saw? 90% of the hands go down. So there's the problem, the fear of ridicule. Now, practically nobody says, well, we must be the only ones. There can't be anybody else out there. If there were, I would know about it. You know, you don't hear that. The media attitude seems to have shifted to make people less fearful. It's more respectful toward UFOs, is what I've observed. Don't have to have a ha-ha sentence to begin it all the time, which used to be.
What should we keep in mind when exploring the topic of ufology?
I reached four major conclusions after 50 years, more than 50 years of study. One, the evidence is overwhelming that planet Earth is being visited by intelligently controlled extraterrestrial spacecraft. In other words, some, underlined 27 times, some UFOs are alien spacecraft. Most are not. I don't care about the ones that aren't. Two, the subject of flying saucers represents a kind of cosmic Watergate, meaning that some few people within government know what's going on. You don't keep secrets by telling everybody. Very limited need-to-know concept kind of thing. The third conclusion is that there's no good evidence against the first two conclusions. And a fourth is that we're dealing with the biggest story of the millennium. On the other hand, there are four rules for debunkers. Don't bother me with the facts. My mind's made up. But the public doesn't know. I'm not going to tell them. If you can't attack the data, attack the people. It's easier. Oh, those people are all crazies, you know, Tin Hat Brigade and stuff like that. And finally, the fourth is, do your research by proclamation. Investigation is too much trouble. And who's going to know the difference anyway, you know? And I object to that, darn it. Have facts in hand before putting mouth in gears, a rule of thumb for me.
How have recent advances in science lent credibility to the idea of extraterrestrial life?
Now, 100 years ago, you could easily say, well, this is the only solar system. After all, look, you can see there were 8 other planets or 7 or 9 or whatever it was at the time. And now, with the Kepler spacecraft, I'm really impressed with that. This is a satellite that goes out and comes back, long path. And it covers an area, it looks at an area that's the size of my fist at arm's length. So if you were to hold this up against the sky, it's only looking at a small chunk of the neighborhood. But it can detect the difference in the light coming to you from the star that you're looking at when a planet goes by. That's a minuscule difference, much less than 1%. So, you know, it's like a butterfly flying in front of a car headlights a mile away. That's sensitive, you know, that's really neat. And when you start looking at what the Kepler has found, holy cow, planets all over the place out there. Frank Drake of the SETI community said several years back that there might be as many as 8,000 planets in the galaxy that can send signals to us. We should be looking. 8,000? The idea now is that on an average between, depending on who you ask, between 1 and 1.6 planets per star. Well, within 100 light years of here, which is just down the street, the galaxy is 100,000 light years across, so 100 is nothing, local neighborhood, there are 10,000 stars. That implies 10,000 planets within a mere 100 light years. Think about that for a minute.
Would extraterrestrials be interested in us?
I tell people that one reason aliens might be coming here is because this is the densest planet in the solar system. A cubic foot of Earth weighs more than a cubic foot of any of the other 8 or 9 planets, 7 or 8 or 9, depending on who you ask, in our solar system. And you say, so what? Many people think a planet's a planet, is a planet. You know, it's not true. Well, that means there are more heavy metals here. And heavy metals are rare in the universe, as it happens. Things like osmium, iridium, rhenium, gold, uranium, and rare earths, there's a group of about a dozen elements that are associated with each other. You don't get any one of them in pure form, but they have very special electrical and other properties. And you know where it shows up? In electric cars. So aliens may have been mining the goodies here for a long time, stuff that we didn't care about. We are still ignorant. We don't know everything there is to know, and there will be surprises. If you came here from elsewhere and you found out that we had a war in which we killed 50 million people, Second World War was like that, we destroyed 1,700 cities. After the war, we exploded 2,000 nuclear weapons, only 2 on people, thank goodness. We're a primitive society whose major activity is tribal warfare, just looking around at us. So, from an alien viewpoint, we're a threat to the neighborhood because we could use this fusion, fission too, but especially fusion, to go out and bother them.
Isn't interstellar travel highly unlikely given the vastness of space and limitations of time?
You get people saying you can't get here from there. Very often I hear that. Look, at 30,000 miles an hour, which is very fast, it would take 70,000 years to get here. What are you talking about? There can't be any interstellar travel. Well, that's a little bit like saying, well, how long does it take you to go around the Earth? Well, Magellan did it, and his ship did it, and he didn't make it in 3 years. So if you're going faster, it'd take a year and a half anyway. Well, the space station does it in 95 minutes. My mantra is that technological progress comes from doing things differently in an unpredictable way. A laser isn't just a better light bulb, entirely different physics. Can't be beings on board those craft because they couldn't stand the acceleration of sudden stops, starts. Most of the reports you hear about right angle turns, zip, zip. It doesn't slow down before the corner and then speed up after the corner, like we do with a car, for example. How could that be? Well, it turns out that you can stand 30 G's for 1 second. That's 0 to several hundred miles an hour in 1 second. I hate to say this, but we haven't reached the limit of new knowledge.
What advances would you like to see made in the field of ufology?
I'd like to see the time come when the government says, we've been lying for 70-some years. And here are the reasons. You know, I suppose there would be some kind of explanation. And the thing that bugs me a little bit, this year the military budget will be $1 trillion on planet Earth. And lots of kids died of starvation yesterday and the day before that. We need to, I think, realign our thinking on planet Earth. Because the weapons get better, meaning they can cause more destruction. That's not a good thing. So I'm concerned about the future of my great-grandson. I have one, he's 8 years old. What kind of world is he gonna grow up in? I don't think it's appropriate for us Earthlings to spend $1 trillion on things military in a year. We need clean water, clean air, enough food to feed our kids. So I have these larger concerns, and I hope that sometime in the near future, while I'm still alive, that things will get better. We'll have a different recognition of where we fit and where our priorities ought to be and stuff like that. And remember, there's a lesson here. Aliens have been observed for a long time. They haven't destroyed us yet, have they? That's a good sign. Somebody maybe got through the stage of too much technology and not enough sociology. So I'm an optimist because of that. They don't come down and splatter the people all over the place or the buildings. We do that, but the aliens don't seem to. So that makes me optimistic. There is hope for mankind, in other words.
Stanton Friedman spent a lifetime arguing a very simple point. UFOs are real, evidence matters, and science should lead the discussion. He rejected ridicule, demanded evidence, and helped bring scientific rigor to a subject long pushed to the fringes. Though this interview was recorded in 2016, its message feels more relevant than ever. Stanton Friedman may be gone, but his legacy continues to shape the conversation. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1-hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website, tobehumanshow.com. And feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, or X at tobehumanshow. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.